Hey guys, welcome to VoiceOver. It's Heather Bigley, and we're still on break. So don't get sad. We're coming back February 2nd. And when we come back, we'll have cool stuff talking about Terms of Endearment, Paddington 2, and a special bonus on The Testament of Anne Lee, which is about the leader of the Shakers, new movie that's out in theaters right now. And what does this movie have to say about religious experience, especially female religious experience? We hope you're excited. And now we're going to listen to a few things I have to say about movies in 2026. So tighten that seatbelt. Hey guys, it's 2026, and there will be a slew of movies this summer that are coming out. And summer starts early this year, May 22nd. We've got The Mandalorian and Grogu movie, Masters of the Universe, live-action He-Man movie. Steven Spielberg has Disclosure Day coming out, and Toy Story 5. I'm not sure if we need another Toy Story. I love Toy Story. Will the animation be as beautiful as Toy Story 4? Will it be as heartrending as Toy Story 3? Really high bars. Supergirl is coming out, and Supergirl has been a hard sell for DC, and they've never quite gotten it right. So we'll see. Young Washington is coming out, which is for the 250th anniversary of the American Revolution from Angel. Angel actually has a series of movies coming out this year, and this is kind of the big one. Will they talk about young Washington's fascination with his neighbor's 40-year-old wife and how he wrote her letters to, you know, run away with him? Probably not. Christopher Nolan is taking on The Odyssey, which I'm always up for a good adaptation. But hey, you should not have to wait until summer to go to the movies. So here are a couple of things that are coming out that you might want to pay attention to. Now, I don't know what your tastes are, but these are things that have caught my eye. January 16th is the second installment of the 28 Years Later sequels. I was really surprised with the first one and how moved I was by Ralph Fiennes' performance and his character and how this one guy was trying to remind us of the sacredness of death and how to commemorate it. And this film seems to be all about his character, so I'm interested. Luc Besson is doing a take on Dracula. So that's February 6th. It has Christoph Waltz in what appears to be a not very interesting character, but it is a new retelling of that story. Talking about adaptations, February 13th, we have Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi in Wuthering Heights. And sad to say, my first reaction to this movie is these actors are way too old for these characters, but don't let that stop you. It looks insane. So February 13th, Steph Curry's production house is releasing Goat, and it's about a goat who plays basketball. The animation looks pretty cool, so I'm interested. I mean, I love Steph Curry, right? I love goats. I love basketball. Also on February 13th, because we're going for date night, is Crime 101 with Halle Berry, Chris Hemsworth, and Mark Ruffalo, and it must be said, some really beautiful cars. So it's another heist movie, looks very stylish, very sexy. February 20th is Glenn Powell and Margaret Qualley in How to Make a Killing from A24. This is a cynical Eat the Rich film, which is all about a guy who realizes he could inherit $28 billion if there weren't seven people standing between him and that inheritance. So kind of interested in seeing Glenn Powell in this material. Maggie Gyllenhaal has a movie coming out in February as well called The Bride! Exclamation point. This is kind of like a stylish Bonnie and Clyde Frankenstein's monster movie. And Maggie Gyllenhaal has always been interesting, so we'll know it's going to be interesting. March 20th is Project Hail Mary with Ryan Gosling, and I'm just a little worried only because of that release date, right? Your big blockbusters usually drop in June, July, and December, and so Project Hail Mary in the off season, as it were, What does that mean? I don't know. But, you know, Ryan Gosling continues to be a favorite among audiences. So April 3rd, Zendaya's got a new movie called The Drama. And the trailer is very simple and very intriguing, right? It's a couple who are getting their photos taken for their wedding, and they are so uncomfortable with each other and cannot smile. But we don't know what the drama is. So anyway, I'm intrigued. And then May 1st is Devil Wears Prada 2. This iconic movie is getting a sequel. I remember seeing the first one. I was living in Houston, and I've never been this person in a movie, but I was in this one where I just was amazed at the clothing. Like, where do I get that? Right? Like, I thought, I want to wear these beautiful, cool clothes. So that takes us up to May. There's plenty of stuff to go to the theaters for. You should go to the theaters, guys. It's an American institution. Happy 2026. I've got a list here, Gen X, of movies that turned 25 this year. So movies that came out in 2001. Hold on to your first gen iPods. Look it up on that brand new thing called Wikipedia. These are the films that will make you feel really old. First one, Ocean's 11. I remember just falling in love in the movie theater. Like, beautiful men being funny and stylish. Brad Pitt constantly eating, you know, shrimp cocktail or nachos. It's just something wonderful to see a film made for adults by an adult and enjoying being adults and not wishing we were still teenagers again. I loved it. I was ready to be an adult. Spirited Away, I think actually 2001 is when it made it to the US. This was my first Miyazaki movie, first Japanese animation. I think I actually seen Ghost in the Shell before this. It was marvelous. I loved this film. I would throw parties and I would have that film playing on my TV set with a CRT tube. That was sort of the ambiance that I created for my guests. Legally Blonde. I went and saw this just because I think somebody I knew wanted to see it for the clothes, which I was into. Sure, I'll go to the movies with you, and for whatever reason, right? You can always invite me. It didn't hit with me the way it hit with other people, but I can see why people love it. It's funny. The Fast and the Furious, the highest grossing franchise in the world, started in 2001, and I didn't see it. I didn't really go to Fast and the Furious movies until I think I was almost 40. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. So this isn't just Gen Xers, millennials, perk those ears. Your fave book from your youth was on the screens, and now you have children of your own. Can you believe it? Harry Potter, I didn't think it was a great movie. I thought the book was great. I thought the book was a lot of fun. And I was reading it as, like, you know, a 25-year-old or something. But the movie felt less like a movie than, you know, like a very slow reading of the book. They got better once in a while. Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. This came out at Christmas after 9/11. I remember sitting in the movie theater and just feeling like this is the movie that justifies the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. Maybe a lot of you weren't thinking in those terms, but I was in grad school, so that's what I was thinking about. I did love the prosthetic feet, and I let everyone I was at the movie theater with know that I would happily accept prosthetic feet for Christmas. Lagan, Once Upon a Time in India. If you're a Bollywood fan, you know that this is one of the greats with Amir Khan in it, looking very handsome. And it's about a young man who gathers the village around him to defeat the British Raj. It's fun to see the sort of mustache twirling British officer being duped. And for me, it was an introduction to Bollywood cinema, which I would later go on to research and write about in my PhD. It's a sports musical film. It's truly delightful. India submitted it as its Oscar nominee for 2001. So, Gen X, I hope this didn't make you feel too old, but some of the classics came out that year.